And it was very rare to be right wing in 1968 and 1969 because of the Vietnam War. But he was, and I always figured, well, he went on to law school and he'll just be a right wing lawyer. But he got his way into government, signed up with right wing candidates like Trump. But for him to say his criticism of Trump that he was just not competent to pull it off, this is an implication that it would be okay to have a coup in the United States if you were competent. In other words, instead of ginning up a violent insurrection, actually push forward more skillfully than Trump and have the states refuse to certify their own presidential elections. And then like in 1876, when Rutherford Hayes was rammed through, even though he lost the election over Sam Tilden, that 50 years later, we're going to do the same thing. And then he boasts. He says, look at Venezuela, where their coup was unsuccessful. Look, there's something strange about the Trump government, all of the people in the Trump government. It is obvious why Moscow Mitch rammed through when he was in charge of the Senate. They had the majority. He got rid of the filibuster for cabinet appointments and Supreme Court appointments. Otherwise, you would not have had Amy Comey Barrett. You would not have had some of these people who got nominated. You'd have an entirely different Supreme Court. You also would not have had most of Trump's cabinet. If it would have required 10 Democratic votes, they wouldn't have confirmed John Bolton or any other clowns in the Trump cabinet. So why, if Moscow Mitch did it to really injure the United States with these appointments, why aren't Manchin and Sinema agreeing to do it now, right now, for voting rights, for SB1 and HR1, to standardize federal elections around the country and stop the tampering? Why are they not doing it? That is the tragedy of this. The one way out will be if Manchin and Sinema are not our margin of majority. It'll be not just that we hold the Senate, but we add two more. If we add two more and have 52 Democratic senators and two of them go rogue, Manchin and Sinema, we'll still have 50 votes to get through HR1 and SB1, which is the voting rights bill. That is the linchpin of what's going on. Let me tell you something else. And I think it was Joe of Madison called in the other day and asking this. And I want to reiterate something that is very, very dangerous is on the horizon. The Wisconsin Supreme, or the U.S. Supreme Court, has taken certiorari, which means they've agreed to hear a case out of North Carolina in the fall, where they're being asked to declare, to rule, to enter a judgment that state legislatures can do anything they want in federal or state elections, and they're not even subject to the oversight on appeal of their own state Supreme Courts or their own state governors by veto. So if they want to say presidential elections are beauty contests, we pick the electors, we will gerrymander the state every 2 years. We can ensure a perpetual gerrymander for a century, because take a look what's happened in Wisconsin. Walker gerrymandered it when he won in 2010, and it's now gerrymandered to 2030 because of a Republican Supreme Court. But let's say we have a Democratic Supreme Court. Let's say we get Judge Janet Protasiewicz, my candidate, who is running Pat Rogensack, one of the three justices who voted not to certify Biden, is stepping down, not running for re-election. Judge Janet is running. Principal opponent is this fellow Kelly, who's a Trump MAGA guy who would not certify Biden. Believe me, he would not certify Biden. We've got to get her in, then we'll have 4-3. But even with a Democratic Supreme Court, this Republican U.S. Supreme Court is about to write a decision that says the state Supreme Courts even don't matter. The governor doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if the Democratic governor. The gerrymandered Republicans can keep gerrymandering. They can decide how many voting sites there are. Remember in Arizona, they originally said there'd be one voting site per county. So some tiny county, you know, Rabbit Hole, Arizona, gets one voting site, has 500 people. Phoenix, with millions of voters, gets one voting site. The lines would extend for 10 miles, and they wouldn't all get to vote. They can do that. That's what the Supreme Court is saying. They can do it. And in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, gerrymandered Republican legislatures, the legislature could say, under the Supreme Court's theory, it's a beauty contest. We'll take it into account. By the way, we're certifying the fake electors. This decision is liable to be 5-4. I think Roberts would not go that far, although I'm not sure. Amy Coney Barrett is the vote that's going to put it over. She was proposed. Ruth Bader Ginsburg died in October of 2020. On November 3rd, Trump lost the election. Moscow Mitch rammed Amy Coney Barrett through with no vetting, no real chance to talk to her, and she was confirmed lame duck. Nominated by Trump, who had lost the election, and confirmed by Republican senators who were not running for re-election and would not be around after January. And that vote is supposed to strip us of our democracy. But let me tell you something. That can't be permitted to happen. That's not legitimate. That's not constitutional. If you want to be a real originalist, I'll be a real originalist. There's nothing in the Constitution that lets the Supreme Court overturn any law or interfere at all. Back in 1788, when George Washington was elected president, the Supreme Court was basically seen as an overall appellate court that would administer commercial disputes. About 200 years ago, they started to stick their nose into overturning things when Congress ordered that they do something, the court do something, and they said, no, we're equal to the Congress. You can't tell us what to do. Then, I don't know, 50, 60 years go by, 50 years to the Dred Scott decision, when they stick their nose and tell Congress and states what to do. Well, the Dred Scott decision saying that people of African descent couldn't be citizens was so appalling, among other things, that led to the Civil War. And in the Civil War, let me give you an example. Let's say the federal court, the Supreme Court, was very, very segregationist at that point, very pro-South. Suppose they had issued a decision saying that ordering Lincoln not to invade the South, not to use force of arms to keep the Union together, saying under the Constitution, they had a right to secede. What do you think Lincoln would have done? I'll tell you what he would have done. I'll tell you what I would have done. I would have arrested them. I would have put them in prison. We will not tolerate treason. And then Lincoln would have continued to execute the Civil War. There's an old saying that the Supreme Court follows the election returns. When Roosevelt was elected in 1932, the U.S. Supreme Court invalidated the New Deal, said that it violated the Constitution. People were so angry, there was a depression going on. What happened was that Roosevelt said, I'm going to pack the court with more justices. And that scared them, and then they came correct with some respect. I mean, at some point, if Amy Coney Barrett is the deciding vote and she's illegitimate and this court is an illegitimate Republican court, Biden will have no choice but to appoint five other justices or seven right away, ram them through with no discussion. But that takes Manchin and Sinema. Manchin and Sinema are playing footsies with the Republicans. You see what's going on? So I'm going to leave this in the back of your minds. If we get a decision coming up this year that says that the corrupt gerrymandered legislatures can do whatever they want and strip us of our democracy, don't take that line down. Everybody's going to have to decide himself, herself, what they want to do about enforcing our democracy. But you can't take that line down. George Washington didn't take it lying down, and King George did something very similar. Go to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. In the year 2525.